You're listening to Radio Boston. What compels someone to actually run 26.2 miles, especially for the first time, and if you don't do it for a living? Well, for a lot of people, it's love. Last week, we spoke with four first-time Boston Marathon runners. They are among thousands running for about 160 nonprofit organizations, and we wanted to know what or who would cause them to push their bodies and their fundraising skills to the brink. Viet Tran, Jackie Birchteen, and WBUR's own Nick Wilson and Caitlin Harrop had compelling inspirations, and Jackie was the first to tell us her why.
I am running as a tribute to my grandmother, who had ovarian cancer and will be celebrating 10 years cancer-free at the finish line.
Now, as I understand it, she actually used to take you to the race.
Yeah, I grew up going to the race with her every year, so now it's a little full circle where she'll meet me at the end.
What's her name?
Her name's Lana.
Lana. So you're running for Lana?
For Lana.
All right. Caitlin?
I'm running because I can, and that's a gift. So I'm running to celebrate having a healthy, happy body that can do that. And I'm running to support Spoonfuls, which is an organization that does food recovery for climate resilience and for food justice in our community, which is another way to celebrate healthy bodies, too.
And you haven't always been as healthy as you want it to be, and so this makes you feel powerful.
Correct.
Yeah. Viet.
I'm running in honor of my late cousin Scott, who passed away, unfortunately, from gastric cancer last year. So I'm running in his honor with his wife and my sister as well. So the three of us are running to raise money for Mass General pediatric cancer programs.
Had any of you run before?
I've run two marathons before. This is all of our first times running Boston.
And was Scott a runner by chance?
He was not, but he was always very active playing sports, tennis, soccer, golf, all that good stuff.
So it kind of fits.
Yeah, for sure.
Nick, how about you?
I'll be running for my mother, who passed away 10 years ago this year. Her name is Charlotte. She was treated at Dana-Farber, so I'm going to be running. I raise money for Dana-Farber. That's who I chose to run for.
And you were not a runner?
Not at all, no. I've done one and a half marathon. This will be my first marathon.
There seems to be a common theme across the four of you that is really rooted in love for somebody else. You're all nodding. Talk about that.
I think what's special about Boston and the Boston Marathon is it gives you the opportunity to run for something you believe in. And I feel like my fundraising goal was $10,000. So if you're going to ask me to raise $10,000, I have to really be able to say it with my chest and really, really stand behind that if I'm going to ask people to do that sort of commitment. And so I knew that when it came to the marathon for me, it really had to be around feeding my community and making my community a more sustainable place, because that's something that goes so much further beyond me and can help so many people. So that was what really pushed me to not just run any marathon, but to run Boston and then to look for the organization that I found.
Did you hit your number, Caitlin?
I did. I hit it about a month ago.
Oh, you look pretty proud of that.
I am really proud of that. It was very scary.
Nick, you're nodding.
Yeah, I agree. I think I talked to some employees here and they pushed me to do it. You have to do it for something you believe in. You know, I think you have to do it for something that you know you could get the money for. And it's tough asking people for money. It's a lot of money to raise. There's some other marathons around where you could raise $1,500, $3,000. Boston's up there because of the demand. So to do something that would mean something to people makes it more rewarding.
Jackie, I saw a lot of nodding from you.
Yeah, I had to raise $13,000. And so when I was looking about running, I wanted something that meant something to me. And this is actually the first year that the National Ovarian Cancer Coalition is part of the Boston Marathon, too. And my whole take is that if people who are battling cancer can go through chemotherapy, I can run 26.2 miles.
And Viet, how about for you with the fundraising? What was that experience?
Yeah, it was definitely tough. It's always been a dream of mine to run the Boston Marathon, but I never really felt comfortable asking people for money. But when Scott got diagnosed with cancer and his wife, Gwen, who's also running, she also works for Mass General. So when he passed and Gwen sent along the information for the Mass General Marathon team, I felt that I had a really good cause that I could raise money for. And I knew all of my friends and family and colleagues would be right behind me and supportive and would be willing to support my cause. So super happy I was able to fundraise money for this great cause and for Scott, who I miss and love dearly.
Tell me one thing about Scott.
Scott was, he was just the kindest, most caring, hardworking person you could ever meet. He really was the best of us, and he was a little bit older than me, and we had so many great memories from when we were young. And yeah, I really just want to honor his memory and help carry on his legacy through us, the family, and especially his three kids.
Do any of the other three of you want to share something about the person you're running for? Nick, go ahead.
My mom was the rock of our family, you know, and when she passed, I was 26 years old, and I'm 36 now, and it really affected my family, and I have her sister's flying in from the West Coast for this. It'll be we're all doing. I'm going to be wearing the green non-Hodgkin's lymphoma ribbon, and they'll all be wearing it. It's going to be special. But my family's changed since she's passed, and I know she'll be looking down.
Anyone else?
Yeah, so I grew up with just my mom and my grandmother, so she's one of my best friends, and she's just like the strength of our family. She never backs down, and she holds us up.
Caitlin, I wonder if there's anything from your own story of strength, something about you want to share, or your mom and the work she's done in food security.
Yeah, so I am the proud daughter of a retired food bank manager. I grew up in Oregon, and my mom, for a lot of my childhood, managed our county food bank. And I spent a lot of days after school waiting to go home at the food bank, a lot of time sorting food. And it has just never been lost on me that it's not a guarantee. Food's not a guarantee for anyone, as much as it should be. So to have an organization that sees, Spoonful sees healthy food that would end up in a landfill and says, we can get that somewhere that needs it. You know, we can get that to a food recovery program. We can get that to a senior center. We can get that to a food bank. And we can get that out to families who need food. And to be able to do that and to be able to support that at this age after having such a background in it feels really rewarding and important.
We're here with four runners who are running for different reasons, for different people, for different memories and different causes in the Boston Marathon here on Radio Boston. All right, this is a little bit of a silly question, but when I first struck out on my own, I had to go move to a new town and find a job. And driving to the new city was scarier to me than finding the job. So I will ask the four of you, which was more intimidating, raising the money or training for the race?
Raising the money.
Raising the money?
Training for the race.
Jackie says training for the race. Viet and Nick?
Raising the money.
Raising the money?
I think the training was a little harder. I was surprised at how easy it was to raise 10 grand. I don't know everyone's situation, but the training's been intense. No question about it.
So it's 50-50, so we'll do a little bit of each. And Viet, I'll start with you because, of course, you'd run a marathon before, but you probably hadn't raised the money before. How much did you have to raise?
I had to raise $10,000.
Okay. And people get advice on how to train. Did you get advice on how to raise the money?
Yeah, there were lots of different pieces of advice. I think what I found most effective was sending personalized emails and personalized letters to the people around me. So I would send just a quick note, personal email to my colleagues, and then my parents' friends and my friends' parents, I wrote them personalized letters. That was very effective for me. And then I did a few other things, such as Super Bowl squares, and I hosted a bar night as well, which helped significantly.
Nick, you did Super Bowl squares.
I did. Sorry, I didn't win any money. But I did. I filled it in a
week.
Someone
else did.
Yep. It was a good time. I got quite a bit here. Getting matches, I learned, was huge. Shout out UPS, where my brother works. He was able to match some money for me, and that really helped.
Who else said fundraising was the scariest? Caitlin.
It just felt like a really intimidating prospect, $10,000. I work at WBUR. I work at a nonprofit. Most of my friends work at nonprofits. I am the daughter of two nonprofit workers. So while fundraising is not a new idea to me, that sum of money felt really intimidating. And my dad, who has done a lot of fundraising for nonprofits in his day, gave me a really great piece of advice, which is that you're not asking people to donate for you. You're asking them to donate for something they believe in. And that allowed me to kind of take my own discomfort out of asking people for this money and say, I'm really giving them an opportunity to support something that supports so many other people. So that was a really helpful kind of mental hurdle to get over. Outside of that, I also did a bar night. That was really helpful. I did a 50-50 raffle. That was really, really helpful for fundraising, and then just sent a ton of emails and letters, and that was really helpful as well.
Was there a magic bean for you, Jackie, something that particularly helped you raise the money?
Yeah, my company actually does things a little differently where they don't do a match, but they give everyone a percentage of their salary that they can put to a charity of their choice. So I had a lot of coworkers who were very generous with how much they were able to donate. So that was extremely helpful. I also did a silent auction. And then I live above a restaurant in Boston, and they did a cocktail of the month for me. So every proceeds from that went to me as well.
Coolest thing in the silent auction?
We had a lot of good things. We had Celtics tickets. We had a lot of local businesses in South Boston.
You're like hardcore. This is very high end.
Oh, yeah. We went all in. It was good.
All right. Now let's talk about the training, because I have to confess to you, I can't imagine a world in which I could do distance running, because I feel like all I would do the entire time I ran is think about how miserable I was. So we're going to do a lightning round now, okay? So I'm going to sort of ask a question. On the count of three, you're all going to give the answer, all right? The distance that was the hardest during training, 1, 2, 3.
15.
20 miles.
All right. And the song, if you listened to one that got you through it, 1, 2, 3.
Unstoppable.
Oh, boom. All right. The best shoe you wore, 1, 2, 3.
New Balance 1080.
All right. And your ideal temperature to run in, 1, 2, 3.
58.
70 degrees.
I love it. So Nick. Much different.
Hey, I trained at the gym, so I did all my training on a treadmill. 70 degrees is great.
Keep going. No one else liked the 70-degree number.
No. I'm seeing that for Monday, and it's stressing me out.
Why? Why is that stressing you out?
I feel like we've trained in either rain or like 12-degree weather, so I just haven't really had the exposure to running in 70-degree weather.
What are you worried is going to happen?
I don't know. Everyone keeps saying electrolytes, dehydration, carbs. There's a lot of words floating around, so I'm just kind of trying to get by.
Yeah, I think it's looking to be a little steamy out. I did, I think, 13 miles. I was in Puerto Rico in January, and I did 13 miles in like 80 degrees, and I thought that death was knocking on my door. It was terrible. I had really hoped for like a 55 day, so by the time this is airing, hopefully that manifestation will have brought us a little bit of cooler weather. But I said, as long as there's not extreme heat or extreme wind, I feel like I can take the other elements.
Or rain.
I can take rain. I can't take heat. Yeah.
I don't mind rain.
Yeah.
But the warmth is a bit much for me. I sweat a lot. So if you see me running on Monday, yeah, I'll be dripping in sweat for sure if it actually stays 72. I would definitely prefer a little bit cooler. I don't mind the rain. The wind is definitely not ideal, but I think I'll just run a little bit slower if it really is that warm.
What has the training been like? Hard? Harder than you thought? Easier than you thought? Something that surprised you? Any of it? Nick, you look like you've got a thought there.
For me, it's been, I have two little kids at home. I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and my wife's pregnant, and the time away from them has taken a toll, you know, because it takes 3 hours to run 15, 16 miles. So just being away on the weekends and, yeah, that's been the hardest for me. It's just the time away from family and being able to run outside. I can't drive to Wellesley, run the hills in the morning, go home. I'd been doing all my training on a treadmill, which people are like, you're crazy. But people say if you can run 20 miles on a treadmill, you can run 26 outside. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
And your wife has clearly been supportive.
Absolutely. Yeah, she knows the cause it's for. And, you know, at one point I thought about looking into doing the Chicago one because you had to raise a lot less money. And she's like, do Boston. You're from here. It'll mean so much more. So she's been great.
Caitlin, you're nodding.
Yeah, I think training has been, I don't want to eat my words, but more manageable than I had expected. I only started running about 2.5 years ago. And I started running because one day it was really nice out and I didn't want to go to the gym. And I was like, what if I just went outside instead? And I feel like I've kind of just brought that approach, which is just this sort of like openness to seeing what will happen. And I feel like taking that pressure off has just kind of allowed me to enjoy the process. I've really loved training. I will be sad when it's over. I've really, really enjoyed the process. So I think I found more joy in it than I expected.
Jackie, has it been what you thought it would be?
Yeah, I think so. I've also really enjoyed it. I like having a set schedule of when I need to run, and I like waking up Saturday mornings and kind of having that long run. I actually joined a group too, so it's nice having people that kind of hold you accountable. And I'm going to miss it, too. I actually already signed up for the New York City Marathon, so I'm just going to keep it going.
Did you train with – no, so you've run one before, but you're running with family. Did you guys all train together, the three of you?
We also both ran with a group. It's just been a really strong community. Boston has maybe the best running community in the world. So to run with other people training for Boston and raising money for great causes, you meet so many really, really good people, and that's for sure been the best part of it. And I also ran New York last fall, so my body feels really good, really strong this time around. I can definitely understand where you guys are coming from as first-time runners.
So Boston is different. I mean, you come all the way from Hopkinton, we have Heartbreak Hill. Have you trained in some way differently for the terrain here than you would someplace else? I mean, again, I don't run, so I don't know. Did you train differently for this?
Yeah, I think the one big thing I did was for the Saturday runs, we ran the hills and Heartbreak Hill every single Saturday morning. So just to get that training on the hills and to run at least part of the course every single Saturday, I feel like I'm really well prepared for what's to come.
Yeah, I didn't run them every Saturday, but I think there's just this insane advantage that comes from training in Boston for Boston. I feel like it would be such a shock to my system to just show up on this course. So the fact that I have run what's considered to be the hardest part of the course, which is sort of that Wellesley, Newton, Heartbreak Hill area, which is really like Heartbreak Hills. It's kind of this like series of hills, which was a surprise to me. Being able to train that week in and week out has given me a lot of comfort. Like I feel like if I can make it to Wellesley, I'm going to feel so familiar with the course that it's going to be smooth sailing from there on out.
Okay, so don't freak treadmill man out over here.
Nick and I talked about this a lot. Nick and I talk about this in the kitchen a lot.
So you've given Nick some tips?
I don't know if I have tips, but we have discussed our different training structures.
I am going into this marathon completely blind. I grew up on the North Shore. I don't know Wellesley. I've never been to Hopkinton in my life. So I know there's a 3-hour YouTube video out there. You can watch the course. I'm just going to soak it all in. The spectators I hear things about. And I hear, you know, there's a lot of downhill. So you got to be easy on your quads. I'm hearing starting out. And then just taking all the advice I can get. There's a few runners at WBUR that have given me all kinds of tips. And I'm just instilling them in my brain. And a lot of it's mental, you know, just going out and do my best. You know, I'm doing it for my mom, so I know I'll finish.
Two more questions for all of you. The first, and Jackie, I'll start with you. What have you learned about yourself?
I have learned that I can really do anything that I put my mind to. I ran a half marathon last summer, and I remember finishing it being like, there's no way I could do double this. Like, I'm done. And every week I surprised myself the more and more I ran. And I would have never thought that I would be sitting here saying I'm about to run 26.2 miles because I was that girl in middle school who tried to call out of every mile and had a 13-minute mile. So, yeah, I think it's really just the fact. And my grandma always told me this, like, you can really do anything you put your mind to.
How about you, Caitlin?
Yeah, I mean, not dissimilar. I've always thought I couldn't run. I have pretty bad asthma. And to one day just run 2 miles and be like, oh, I guess I can do that, and then work that up to a half marathon. And I finished my last half marathon in October and was like, yep, I think I'm going to do Boston. To see that something I thought was so impossible is totally possible makes me think about what other things I'm telling myself I can't do that I totally can if I just kind of like take that doubt out. So that has really like given me something to think about beyond the marathon as well.
Yeah, I feel similarly. Just the mental strength that we all have within us, if we have the right attitude, if we're positive every day, if we do it together as a community with the other great people in your life, you can really do anything that you set your mind to.
Did you learn anything about yourself, Nick?
I learned that anything is possible. You know, I think that if you set your mind to something, you can do it. I used to run a mile a day at the gym, and now, you know, I tell my wife I'm going to run 10 miles and it'll be an easy run.
Caitlin and Jackie, will your mom and your grandmother be on the course?
Yep, they'll be at the finish line.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully at mile 10 for a handoff of some goods and then the finish line.
And Viet and Nick, each of you, Viet, if Scott could say something to you on the course, what do you think he'd say?
I would like to think he would just say, I love you.
How about you, Nick, for Charlotte?
She'll be saying, keep going. She had a stone on her desk where she worked that said, strong. I'll be carrying that with me. She'll be there.
That was WBUR's own Nick Wilson and Caitlin Harrop, as well as Jackie Birchteen and Viet Tran. All four are running the Boston Marathon today for the first time.